We have a unique opportunity this morning to hear some Divrei Torah, some Divrei Hesped, to think about some of our legacy, our link of our Mesorah and our Yeshiva. One of the unique aspects of being a Ben Yeshiva here at Yeshiva University is to be cognizant of our history. I mentioned this on Friday in my words to Talmidim. Being part of the Chag HaSmicha yesterday and participating in that and realizing our rich history here as part of the legacy of being a Talmud here in the Yeshiva. Understanding our history of our Rosh Yeshiva as well, as individuals, and cherishing them as Talmidei Chachamim, as our leaders, is also an important part of that legacy. And understanding the history of our Yeshiva and appreciating that as well. And today we're going to be learning about and learning for a member of our Rosh Yeshiva who spent 8 decades here as part of our yeshiva, starting as a Talmud and as a Rebbe in our yeshiva, was really a part of the yeshiva, the fabric of the yeshiva in so, so many ways. And today, hopefully, for the Talmidim who did not necessarily have an opportunity to learn directly with Rabbi Tendler, to see him coming in regularly with the shiurim, with the Talmidim, maybe some of you had an opportunity, but many of you probably did not. But to really try to put yourselves in the seat of the Talmidim that were here and to think about the impact that Rabbi Tendler did have on the yeshiva and on the community at large. And we're going to be hearing introductory remarks from the president, followed by a shir, and also Divrei Hesped from Rabbi Neuberger, and then followed by that by Divrei Hesped from Rabbi Reis, who was a Rosh Yeshiva and a close Talmud as well, for his whole life, growing up in the community with Rabbi Tendler. So we'll begin with the president of Yeshiva University.
It's truly an honor to introduce this program of words of tribute of an essential leader of Yeshiva University, a role model, a Rebbe, to so many in this yeshiva and to our broader community, Rabbi Dr. Moshe Tendler. It's an honor to welcome the family members who are here with us, his illustrious family. It's an honor to speak in front of our distinguished Rosh Yeshiva, our incredible deans, and especially our Talmidim dafka now, in this Midrash. You know, Chazal tell us, why is it that when Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and went to Charan, that the Torah points out both in the same pasuk, "Vayetzi Yaakov miBe'er Sheva ve'elech Charana." Why does it mention his leaving when we know that's where he left from? Elamagid sheyasiyas tzadik min amakom osa roshem. Roshem. Shebizman she tzadik beir hu hoda hu ziva hu hadara. Yatza misham pana hoda pana ziva pana hadara. That when a tzadik leaves a city, it leaves an impression. It leaves a mark. There's an absence. When a tzaddik enters a city, he is its glory. When he leaves the city, the glory is diminished. And certainly for Yeshiva University, for our community, there's a real sense of yetzias tzaddik. There's a real sense of yatza tzaddik, Pana Hoda, Pana Ziva, Pana Hadar. And it's important for all of us, dafka now in the Beis Medrash, to take some moment to talk about Rabbi Tendler and talk about his life. Maisa Avo, Siman Labanim, it's a very different kind of learning. We're here in the morning Seder, we're learning. We're learning Torah. We're learning Torah to develop ourselves, develop who we are as people. to develop the kind of character to emerge as leaders of Am Yisrael. What are our values? What do we stand for? And having this moment to pause and reflect on the life of Rabbi Temler is another kind of learning. Ma'isa Avo Siman LeBanim, it guides us and it teaches us. So let me begin by words of introduction. In this week's parsha of Eile Todos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Holidus Yitzchak. The Torah tells us these are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram fathered Yitzchak. It's very strange. Obviously, the Torah just said Eile Todos Yitzchak ben Avram. We know Avram Holidus Yitzchak. What is the addition by telling us Yitzchak ben Avram on the one hand and Avram ben Holidus Yitzchak on the other? So I read these psukim, it reminds me of a story that I heard once about Napoleon. That apparently Napoleon was trying to get into a very posh aristocratic place, and he was stopped at the doorway by security. And the security was looking at him to see, to measure who he is, to see if he's worthy of entering into this blue-blooded place. So the security guard said, "Who are you a descendant of?" And Napoleon answered, "I am not a descendant. I am an ancestor." And I think that what makes Yitzchak distinct, that we're reading in this parsha, is that he was Avram Holidus Yitzchak, and he was also Yitzchak ben Avram. That he was both a descendant and an ancestor. And that's what's essential to know about Yitzchak. People often think about Yitzchak, they think that he lived his life in imitation of Avraham. And that is true. We know the famous, now famous, that the Rav explained, Salvechik Zatzal, Marino Verabenu explained that why is it that Yitzchak went dafka to the same wells that Avram went to and dug up those wells and renamed those wells? Because they were trying to, the people at the time were trying to stop up the wells of Avraham. And Yitzchak dafka went back to imitate his father to show that Avram wasn't a one-generational fad, but that there's a Masorah and that Avram continues and he'll go to the same wells and he'll name it the same names. For Avram continues through the life of Yitzchak. There's a famine in the land. Hashem comes to Yitzchak and says, "Don't go down to Mitzrayim." Who says Yitzchak was going to go down to Mitzrayim? But because Avram went down to Mitzrayim, it would be very natural that Yitzchak, living his life in imitation of Avram, would also think about going down to Mitzrayim. So don't go down to Mitzrayim. Yitzchak's whole life was as a descendant, was as a son, that Avram Olidetz Yitzchak, was that his father was Avram, and that his imitation of, and continuing the enormous and incredible legacy of Avram. And it's essential. That was the first link of the chain. That was the Masorah. But if you think that Yitzchak was exactly the same of Avram, you don't understand Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak very much was his own man. And you see it in many cases, one very specifically when you look at his profession. If I asked you, what were the profession of the Avos? What did they do for a living? Were they in computer science? Doctors? No, what did they do for a living? What did they do? Shepherds. We normally think they were shepherds. Yitzchak actually was not a shepherd. What was Yitzchak? Anybody know what Yitzchak was? Yitzchak was a farmer. He planted. The first time Me'asharim is used in the Torah, it's about somebody working and planting. That's Me'asharim. Me'asharim. Somebody went in the field and planted and worked. That was Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a farmer. And Yitzchak loved the field. We know that when Rivka came and met him for the first time, where was Yitzchak? Ve'yetze Yitzchak l'suach basadeh. Yitzchak was in the field. And what was he doing in the field? What does l'suach mean? So Chazal famously say, l'suach is to daven, a sicha. He's davening, he's conversing with Hashem. As the Rashbam explains, the pshat of siach hasadeh is latat, is to plant. He was farming in the field. He was planting. And it's no coincidence that the very same place that he was planting was the place that he was davening. Because Yitzchak was inspired by the field. He loved the field. And that's why he had a special affinity for Esav. Everybody wonders, what's the connection Yitzchak-Esav? Yitzchak saw himself in Esav. It was an essential element of Esav that really fit with Yitzchak. Because when the Torah tells us, who was Yaakov, who was Esav? Yaakov was Ishtam Yoshev Baalim, but Esav was Ishu Deyatzayid, Ish Sadeh. He was a man of the field. And that was so important to Yitzchak, that before he wanted to give the bracha, he sent Esav to the field. And when Yaakov came back dressed as Esav, Yitzchak brought him closer. Vayerech et reech begadav yivrecheh v'yomer re'eh reech b'ni k'reech sadeh asher brechu Hashem. The smells, the smell of field, that inspired him to give the bracha. Avram was a shepherd. Yaakov was a shepherd. Yehuda was a shepherd. Yitzchak was a farmer. Yitzchak was a farmer. He was different. He was different. He forged his own path. But he was also the same. He was Yitzchak ben Avram. He was his own man. And he was Avram Holidus Yitzchak. And he was very much a continuation of his ancestors. He was an ancestor. He was a descendant. And he was an ancestor. Ela Toldos. These are the Toldos. This is who Yitzchak was. When I think of Rabbi Tendler, I think of someone who embodied the whole spirit of our yeshiva. I spoke about that in my Esped, how there was no vav between the Torah Umad. He had a holistic approach. A Rosh Yeshiva who was also a major scientist who ran and directed a research lab. It's mind-blowing. I remember when I was younger, Rabbi Tendler's partner, Samuel Korman, in research, would drop off what they were working on clinically, the material or the genetic, and he would drop it off at my house in Forest Hills, and me and my brother, we would go, and when we go to MTA, we'd go to Rabbi Tendler's office to bring him the specimens, and we were the conduits. We were the conduits. I'm not sure if it was the safest way of getting the material there. But we were the conduit, and that was Rabbi Tendler, a major Rosh Hashiva, a scientist, a researcher, trying to discover the cure for cancer. And there was no vav, it was holistic. Rabbi Blau told me that his first interview that he wrote up in the Commentator when he was a student, was with Rabbi Tendler, and Rabbi Tendler said that Torah Mada is not synthesis, it's symbiosis. You cannot separate the two. It's one. He was so much a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. And in his Hesped of the Rav, you hear Rabbi Tendler. You could see Rabbi Tendler in his Hesped of the Rav. He was so much a Talmud of this yeshiva that he started way back when he was in his early teens until his passing. He was a son of his parents, who I've heard stories about since his passing, about people growing up on the Lower East Side, about the shul of his father. He was a son-in-law of the Feinsteins, with whom he was very close. All of his ancestors, all of these people as a descendant, they informed his character. But anyone who confuses Rabbi Tendler for simply being a company man is not getting the complete picture. Rabbi Tendler forged his own path. He was outspoken. He was fearless. He was his own person. I remember when I was in yeshiva, there was a real milchemta shel Torah in our base medrash about current halachic issues. Rabbi Tendler would take strong views and assert his positions with his characteristic charm, spirit, and conviction. Okay, and it was exciting in this base medrash. People were talking and discussing on the latest, most current issues. And Rabbi Tendler was not parroting others. In his combination of his accomplishments in Torah and science, he was top tier. There was no one who came close to the symbiosis that he embodied. and it expressed itself in many ways, perhaps especially in his defining influence in the field of medical ethics, in which he was not just the pioneer. He was the founder, he was the sole voice at a time for the halachic world in medical ethics. Rabbi Tendler was a descendant, and he was also an ancestor. He was a product and continuation of his parents, of his rebbeim, of his teachers, but someone who also carved his own path. And you see it in who he raised, his exceptionally accomplished family, who carry his incredible legacy with such distinction. His congregants and his shul, who love him so dearly, and his yeshiva, who cherish him and continue to perpetuate his Torah values and his legacy. Eila toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avraham holid es Yitzchak. This is why we're here to celebrate the life and legacy of Rabbi Tendler. For you, our Talmidim, Maisa Avo Simon Banim, to learn from hearing about his life, his Torah, and his legacy, both as a descendant and as an ancestor. My schus to introduce Rabbi Neuberger.
Rishus, Rishay Yeshiva, Rishus Nasiya Yeshiva, Rabbi Say Talmidei Yeshiva. Of course, a great covet for me to share a few of the interactions that I had with Rav Moshe David Tendler Zatzal. It's a great covet for us to have the many members of the Tendler family with us. It's personally very humbling to have a long-standing friend, Dr. Yaakov Tendler, a person I've learned much from over the years. And we thank you for gracing our yeshiva by joining us this morning. Let me begin with one of the insights that the president shared with us. Because when he mentioned Vayetze Yitzchak Lesuch Besoda, in my mind, that triggers a drosha that I once heard from Rabbi Tendler from under a chuppah, and it speaks to the magnificent darshan that he was, in addition to being a Rosh Hashiva and a scientist. Rabbi Reis will broaden the scope of this comment in a few minutes. He was under a chuppah, and it must be in this week's parsha. And he said, why is it that we learn the halach of mincha from the same episode that Yitzchak meets Rivka? So Rav Tendler explained that mincha is the davening, which is in our modern language, he would not use the word the great disruptor, because shacharis, you daven before you go to the Beis HaMedrash, before you go to work. Mariv, that when you come home from the basement, you come home from work. But mincha is on your mind the entire afternoon. That you have to make sure you daven mincha before shkia becomes even more challenging next week. Beis HaMedrash, we have zmanim. You have to make sure you don't begin second seder or you interrupt second seder. But when you're at work, it's on your mind. You have to daven mincha. And he said that is how one has to relate to one's wife as well. And that's what Yitzchak teaches at that moment, that a successful marriage is when a husband has his wife in mind all the time and interrupts his daily work to make sure he calls his wife. I share this with Hassanim, I share this with Balabatim, and as many, many of the insights of Rav Tendler, it would be successive, David voice, for a very, very long time. at Vias Goyal. But one of the, I believe, the first interaction that I had with Rabbi Tendler was a group, we were learning Masechtas Nida. And a group of Talmidim said, we're learning Masechtas Nida, let's ask Rabbi Tendler to give us a few chaburas to explain to us the scientific underpinning of what we're learning. And we met several times. I remember very clearly in one of the rooms, the first, just to the, next to the base, what used to be the base of Medrash. And he shared with us over the course of a few afternoons his approach to various halachos, to paskening, some views of Rav, and of course the scientific bases for many of our sugyas. But the very first thing that I remember him telling us, he says, if you want to be a Rav who's going to paskin these shilas, then you have to know there'll be many, many times when you will not spend the night with your wife, so they can learn the sugya, so that one of your balabatim will be able to spend a night with his wife. And in that comment, Rabbi Tendler caught much of what we learned from him. We learned the responsibility, the achrayas, to understand before you take a position or paskin, to understand the din al burya. It means staying up one night, several nights. It means consulting and reading there. No effort can be spared. And at the same time, no effort can be spared to deliver a psak with achrayas, with responsibility, to make sure that you're representing a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah accurately, to make sure that your questions and concerns do not create a Torah that unnecessarily and inappropriately becomes more encumbering than a Kodesh Baruch Hu intended. And that sense of achray, a sense of responsibility, and Rabbi Reis will expand on this later on, was felt whenever there was a shaila that I would bring to him, whether it was personally or from friends or from people who asked me. So he didn't hesitate to make use of his Rolodex, to make use of his connections. If by calling a favor in of a doctor, of an expert, of a scientist, he could help a Talmud, he called in the favor. Make sure that the Talmud was well taken care of, that the Shoel was well taken care of. That achrayas, the president referred to the some of the positions that Rabbi Tendler took very, very strongly and in a very feisty fashion. But I want to share with you a very important angle. I think the president was referring to the debate which still rages about what's considered to be a time of death. And Rabbi Tendler was of the position that that some of the standards that were being used in the science of the time were accurate and could be followed up, he did. And he argued this on many, many occasions. And in one conversation that we had, I can't quote him exactly, but this is the way I would paraphrase it. That of course he believes that what he's saying is accurate. And it's emes. But why is he arguing it so often, so frequently? Because he says, because Klal Yisrael can't be a nation of takers and not givers. He was concerned. He knew there were other positions. And he may have even known he was in the minority. But there had to be a voice because he was responsible for Klal Yisrael. That sense of achrayas take you back several decades. Now you walk into any Meicher Svarim and there is a shelf, two shelves of Svarim and Taras and Mishbach. English, digest, with footnotes, without footnotes, but it wasn't always like that. And when my wife and I began teaching Taras and Mishpacha, probably, I'm not sure, probably the first one to teach classes of Taras and Mishpachan, the world of our yeshiva was already full to Zatzal. And decades later we followed, and at that time, you didn't have digests and digests, you didn't have Sfarim. You had Rabbi Lam's Hedge of Roses, a magnificent presentation, an introduction to the Hashkafa, and you had Rabbi Tendler's Pardes Rimonim. I don't know if it was the first, but certainly one of the first. And certainly it was a digest that was stood out in its clarity, in its concise fashion, so it was readable, and in the language he used. That it was, you knew that the author wanted to communicate. He wanted to teach you. It stands out to this day with those characteristics. But it was at a time when people were concerned, how are we going to teach Taras Mishpach? How are we going to publish? How are we going to put this out? Can we communicate this in print? And Rabbi Tendler, obviously, was a successful trailblazer in that as well. Klape Chutz, and Rabbi Reis will expand on this as well, Rabbi Tendler was a no-holds-barred defender of positions that he took. And we as Talmidim often found it entertaining. We often found it challenging. But when he had a position, he defended it. We would say in the modern terms, he went down to the mat on it. Klape, and if you disagreed with Rabbi Tendler, you had to be ready for it. You had to be ready for the gunpowder, right? You also had to argue with conviction. But inside the office of Rabbi Tendler, basement of First Hall, when you met with Rabbi Tendler, or if you followed him around because you needed to speak with him, he was flying around from a shir to a class to another class. It was a great warmth. Klape Pnim, he was warmth, he was encouraging. He extended himself, he concerned himself. Klape Chutz, I'll tell you, Maisa Shehoya, that I can't go into too many details because it was for a certain time. But it's instructive and will introduce the few minutes of this year that we'll share together. He was also a genius of the moment. He was often, as Talmidim, he was often presented as the genius that shows that the Torah and Mada can work together. And we as Talmidim often felt he was the genius that showed only a genius can accomplish Torah and Mada. I remember there was one meeting of Rebbeim with Dr. Lamzitzel. The Rebbeim were concerned that so many Talmidim went to ski during the winter break, and they weren't in the Beis HaMedrash. Time off from college, should be learning. So the Rebbeim presented, but the Talmidim like skiing, and the numbers that were then on the slopes. So Rabbi Lam said, "Well, maybe the right thing to do is that we should send a few Rosh Yeshiva to the slopes to teach Torah." I had your reaction, because I had never been to Boulder, to Wayne, and the idea of being in a ski lodge near a fireplace giving a shir. But that wasn't the sentiment in the room. The room was a little bit nervous and scared. Is this really going to go to any place? And without losing a moment, Rabbi Tendler said, "Dr. Lam, I'm afraid that if we send the Rebbeim to the slopes, we'll come back having to teach Torah Begalachas." And at that moment, the conversation was dropped. There was an ease in the room, and we went weiter. When I was, I don't remember the time exactly, but there was a couple that had, where the mother was carrying several fetuses. And the question that was posed, that some doctors that were caring for her wanted to reduce the number that she was carrying. And my own thinking, and I was too young to even think about these things and have an opinion, but my own thoughts were that we would not be able to comply with the doctor's wishes. And this, again, is going back several decades, and the medical position was shifting in this. And the doctor, who was quite a mumcha, was caring for the couple, caring for the woman, felt very strongly that we'd have to reduce the number that the mother was carrying. And I was very caught. It was a couple who was receiving advice from one of the mumcha, my own gurus in the field, felt similarly, that medical information was new and shifting, the data was shifting, and argued for some kind of reduction. So I went to Rabbi Tendler expecting that he would back me up, and that I would have the strength of being under Rabbi Tendler's shoulders and managing this couple. And kachave, went to the basement of the first hall, and he spent time with me, he gave as much time as we needed, and he felt strongly that this was not permissible. I was very much caught, and the couple was very much caught between what the doctor thought would be the healthiest option. And after speaking to the doctor, I said, I'll get back to you. And I asked Rabbi Tendler, would Rabbi Tendler be willing to speak to the doctor? I said, for sure. And I came back the next day expecting Rabbi Tendler Kedarko to be dismissive of a position that wasn't his. And he said, you know, Yaakov, he made some excellent points. And he directed me to some studies that I hadn't seen. I'm going to be looking at these studies in the next few days. At that point, I stepped out. I don't know what happened. Was ready. Rabbi Tendler was willing to take it over, so to speak. So I don't really know what happened. But that was such an instructive moment. That's the klapei pnim. That's the humility. That's the bikush ha'emes. That there are experts out there that have information. There's a shifting medical scene. And he had to be informed, and the humility that I saw at that moment has certainly impacted myself over the years. It's true that Rav Tendler was unique in his ability to bridge. I see Rav Mordechai Tendler is here. I didn't realize that. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you very much. To bridge the world of Torah and the world of science, it runs much deeper than that. It's the elegance of being so aware, being not aware, being so understanding, having the grasp of basic science, and being able to thread through any new development through his understanding of basic science, at the same time having a world-class grasp of Torah in its full breadth. And the elegance with which he wove those two together and this bikush al ha'emes, so that is a better description of the contour of Rav Tendler. So I want to just give a few moments of his shir. Lilei Nishmasai. We'll learn together just a few moments and then hear more Divrei Hesped from Rav Ries. One of the phenomena that we are living through right now, and one that frustrates us, and we're maybe a little bit tired of it, and that is the give and take amongst scientists and various people who present science. The give and take, masks, no masks, testing, not testing. And in my mind, it's frustrating. But we, being in yeshiva now, being b'nei yeshiva, and having yeshiva with us, should take a moment out to understand the phenomenon a little bit deeper. And it'll be an instructive moment that we will have and be machazik our emunah. Because I think that the frustration that we have in seeing the zigzag of medical opinion, of scientific opinion, is only because of the nature of the media that is able to project every position, every experiment, and every paper. So we are seeing what usually happens in any scientific advance. It happens only, it happens in the laboratory. Every scientific advance, there are opinions and there are counter opinions and there's data and there's more data and there's research and there's a continuous give and take until there's enough information, enough data, enough opinion. So we usually only see the outcome. This time, because of the nature of the media, we are seeing every step of the way. So we think that it's frustrating and we have a lack of confidence in a system, but it's only because we're watching all the details backwards and forwards. And for me, this is described, articulated. It's an MS that's articulated by Rav Kook Zatzal. Rav Kook, in a letter that became very famous, Sadi Aleph, because that's where he discusses his opinion of evolution. At the end of a long discussion, he says, "Al kolponim ein shum stira l'shum dover min haTorah mikol deya mechkeri sheba olam klal." There is absolutely no contradiction between any opinion that comes from the world of science, the world of investigation, and Torah. Never, never a stira. Why never a stira? Because the scientific method is that there are positions, there are opinions, there is a thesis, there's even data, there are conclusions based on data, and then you get more data. And then you realize that what you concluded from your original set of data was true. It was a correct reading. But when you get more data, you realize that it really described only a small area of the reality. And then when there's even more data, or the Rav Kook says it, when you have greater tools of investigation, greater tools of insight, so then you realize what you saw was emes. You did see it. But now you see it better. And now you see it in context. And I see it deeper. And I see another layer. So when it comes to the world of science, it will always be, knowledge will always be temporal. Knowledge will always be waiting to be understood on a deeper level, waiting to be discarded and revised and revamped. It's an emes that was revealed at our Sinai. And it'll be the same emes for the Achim Moshe Mashiach. So they cannot be a stira, because one is an immutable, unflinching constant, because it's Kadosh Baruch Hu at our Sinai, and the other is the observation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world. But they are observations which will always be revised, which are always presented as being temporal. So we're living through that right now. And that's why this can be Machazek Aramuna going forward, and we shouldn't lose that moment. And we'll bring this to Lemasa, to a Tosfos, Tosfos and Ktuvos. Tosfos on the Gemara, Kol b'yidei Shemayim chutz mitzinim u'pachim. That everything is Kadosh Baruch Hu's micromanaging, except for tzinim u'pachim. What are tzinim? What kind of disease are tzinim u'pachim? The Tosfos says tzinim u'pachim are the things I could have prevented, the things that the risk that I took knowingly. So a kol b'yidei Shemayim, a person becomes ill, he has a cheshbon with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's listening to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is telling him something. He has to figure that out. The person becomes well, Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu made him well. He has to make the appropriate haydah, make the appropriate tikkunim. But if a person at sinim u'pachim, a person becomes ill because of his own negligence, that's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu telling him what to do. That's not Kadosh Baruch Hu giving him mussar. That's his own negligence, his own responsibility, his own pshia. So that is the way that a person looks at the events of his own life. So if there is a certain medical position that at a certain point in time is held to be true, so even though we know it may not be true, it may not be a a good directive 10, 15 years from now. But right now it determines whether I'm being responsible or whether I'm being a pesheya. You, all of you, know that in the course of your young years there's been shifts in the advice from nutritionists. The mushroom. So when you were young, there could be certain advice, certain direction, now it could be changed. But when you, it doesn't really matter as far as practice goes. Person, we don't assume that we have to function now in terms of what we will know 20 years from now. In terms of Kol Bidei Shemayim, if we function now responsibly, not as potion, but following the advice we know now, it doesn't matter what happens later on. But then right now, I'm living with the Rabbono Shel Olam. And he's communicating to me when I'm being responsible. And the yeshuas that I have when I'm being responsible, his yeshuas. So there could be an MS which is temporal. It's not long-standing in the world of time. As Rav Kook says, there'll be in a few years, it'll be kitzitz nova, it'll be discarded entirely. But right now, it guides me and determines what I have to do. Kadosh Baruch Hu's MS is an MS which is forever guiding, forever instructing, and will be Lamito from Har Sinai L'ol Meyad. And that's why, and we'll just conclude with this insight because it's so important for us to appreciate as we're learning Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. It's an idea which is, again, best expressed by the Alter Rebbe by, as he wrote in the Likutei Amorim. Rav Shechter often quotes this idea from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but we can gain access to it from a short passage in the Likutei Amorim, and it brings it very, very close to home. Kisha'odem evinu masig eiz ha'alocha b'mishma yibor la'ishur al-burya. A person who understands any halacha, any mission, understands it clearly, and in his mind grasps it and is able to put it into context. That halacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu's halacha. Kadosh Baruch Hu's It's not only, using my own words, not only when you learn Moed and you learn Shabbos and you learn Psochim that you're learning the Ritzoin HaBoyre. He's when you're learning Baba Basra and there's two people are arguing over what happens when a wall falls, whose stones belong to whom. And they go into Beis Din, and you think you're listening to two Bosev Adom arguing it out in the Sfarad Paskin. Now the Rebbe says, once it's part of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, this is, you are understanding the Ritzoin HaBoyre. You're understanding Chochmah Elokis. And that has to be the way that we approach the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah in our Beis HaMedrash. We want to achieve closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu and achieve the moments of Devekas. There are many ways to achieve moments of Devekas. But Al Rosham is when you're learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and Rambam. Al Rosham, you could be thinking, I'm learning a Svara that ends up Rashba, that may be taken on by a Tosfos, a Reb Shimon, and a Reb Chaim, and in your minds, only one makes sense, and you adopt it, doesn't matter. But on a route, understanding these svaras, and it could be svaras of boss of Adam, people arguing in front of a Beis Din. But you're being megala the Ritzoin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're being megala an aspect of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when we learn, we have to have this appreciation of the different kinds of emes that can be. We have to appreciate, take this moment of our lives to understand how two worlds come together. They come together in the life of a high Gavra Rabba, Rav Moshe David Tendler, in a unique way of Avodas Hashem, and they come together in our lives right now, and should be mechazik the way we look at things, but Oil Al Kulam is to appreciate that as we're learning Devar Lekim Chaim, And it could be an argument about where the stones fall and who owns them. But to appreciate that when we closed the Gemara, we were exposed to the Ritzayin HaBoyre. Open the Gemara, we are re-exposing ourselves to Gilei Likus. And by doing so, our learning will not only contribute to us becoming great Talmid Chachamim, but it will also be a source of inspiration in our Avoda Bechlal. Bezer Hashem, our learning this morning and our recollections of Rav Moshe David Tendler will continue to source of Dovos and be a source of teaching and guidance, as they will be in the lives of his Talmidim and those who interacted with him, and as Balabatim and Bezer Hashem in the lives of our Talmidim as well.
For the final words of Hesped, I want to introduce my predecessor. Some of you don't know the pivotal role that Rabbi Ries played for many years in developing this institution. I got to learn under Rabbi Ries for 5 years as the assistant dean, and it is wonderful to have him. He's now, of course, in a prominent role in the Beis Din in Chicago. And serves through that Chicago position communities around the world. So it's my honor to call upon Rabbi Ries, who we have with us for the Chag HaSmicha yesterday, but he's always part of our Ries family to speak. Rabbi Ries had the privilege of growing up in Muncie, and will speak from a personal experience about Rav Tendler Zitzel.
Thank you. Rishus, President Berman, Rabbi Penem, Rabbi Rabbosai, beloved members of Mishpachas Tendler. Hazman Katsava, Amalacham Ruabah. So I'll bear in mind, Lo Alecha, Amalacha Ligmor. Growing up in Muncie, the community synagogue of Muncie was an unbelievable privilege. Unbelievable. When we would refer to Muncie Eretz Kodesh, we all understood that it was Muncie Eretz Kodesh because we were part of the Kehillah Kedoshah de Muncie, because we had Rabbi Moshe David Tendler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, at the helm. Rabbi Tendler personified the idea Chazal talk about, based on the Pasuk, Be Malachim Imlochu, of Man Malchi, Rabbanim, who are the kings, who are the princes, who's the royalty of the Jewish people? It's the Rabbanim, it's the rabbis. Rabbi Tendler had a regal, magisterial, noble, and eloquent presence that he always carried with him at all times. He epitomized V'atem Tiyulim Amlechus Kohanim B'goy Kadosh. He made us all feel like we were royalty. But he also expected us to act like royalty. My earliest memories as a young member of the congregation was Rabbi Tendler giving us mussar, as he often did, about you better not show up to shul during the week without a jacket and a tie, or wearing sneakers. You present yourself in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you always have to look like royalty. And he always did. This week, Parsha, we speak about Be'elu Toldos Yitzchak. Rabbi Tendler, of course, was Rabbi Moshe David ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac. Tzadik ben Tzadik. He learned really from his father, a rabbi for 40 years, the Jacob Joseph Yeshiva in the Lower East Side, how not to harbor or tolerate any compromises when it comes to Torah mitzvos. The family members are here, so I'm nervous because my memories of the stories are when I was, you know, a young kid in shul, so I may not remember things, you know, perfectly. But I seem to remember a story that Rav Tendler told that somebody presented a check for a very large amount to his father, either for the shul or for the yeshiva. He was the rav of a shul as well in the Lower East Side. But he presented the check on Shabbos. And after Shabbos was over, he tore up the check. Remembering the story? Okay. That there was a notion of not compromising one iota. And when it came to Torah, and Rabbi Tendler certainly ingrained that in all of us, even as the Jewish community as a whole in America was going from a very modern Orthodox perspective to a more Torah-oriented perspective. He already had that perspective, but he shepherded us. He moved us all in that direction, in a superlative fashion. Rabbi Neuberger mentioned Dvar Torah regarding what mincha means in terms of a marital relationship that also evokes for me the notion in this week's parasha of Lenochach Ishto of the relationship that Rabbi Tendler had with his Rebbetzin, Zichrono Levracha. Rabbi Tendler was the king, certainly she was the queen, daughter, of course, of Moshe Feinstein, Posek Kador. The relationship between the rabbi and the Rebbetzin taught us how a married couple is supposed to relate to each other in terms of respect, in terms of the devotion, most of all in terms of the love. Rabbi Tendler once shared with me that not a day would go by that he wouldn't call up his Rebbetzin in the middle of the day, lunchtime, sometimes more often than that, not because he had to check off a box, but because he just couldn't bear being away from her. He needed to call her in the middle of the day to be able to spend time with her. That's what a marriage is all about. Mostly, what I learned from Rabbi Tendler, in addition to his being the Rav and the Posek, myself, for my family, from a very young age until the very, very end, I used to always consult with Rabbi Tendler. My wife would ask Rabbi Tendler difficult shilas about nursing, pumping on Shabbos, things of that variety. But mostly I learned from him Torah's Chesed, like Avram Holidas Yitzchak, to have the Gevurah of a Yitzchak, you start with the Chesed of an Avraham. Everything that Rabbi Tendler did was premised upon trying to help other people, trying to do good for other people. My earliest memory of the relationship that I forged with Rav Tendler was when I was only 10 years old. I had a very serious injury. I was hit in the head by a golf club. Don't ask me what I was doing playing golf. And it almost took my life. A very, very serious accident required very, very serious surgery. Rabbi Tendler was not only there to provide pastoral support to myself and to my family around the clock, literally around the clock, but he also managed the medical care. Rabbi Tendler advised about which surgery, which doctor, what treatment, what should be done, what shouldn't be done. This is the pattern that was followed throughout, through any kind of medical emergency or any other type of family emergency. He was not only a source of comfort, but he was proactive. He took over the situation, figured out as if it would be his own situation, his own family. I think that's why everyone in the community loved Rabbi Tendler so much. It was really an exemplification of Kemayim Panim Panim Ken Leib Adam Le'Adam. That the way you feel towards somebody is the way they feel towards you. We loved Rabbi Tendler so much because we knew that he loved us. We knew that he would drop everything in order to help us whenever we had a problem. Despite his myriad of responsibilities, he would give us as much time as we needed. When I had to go for my follow-up surgery a year and a half later, I guess I was 11 at the time, I was at Mount Sinai Hospital. They had to open up my head a second time. Because they had to replace some bone above my right eye. I literally had a hole in my head for a year and a half. And Rabbi Tendler came to visit me, bought a small hard-covered volume of Tehillim. And I was nervous. I said, Rabbi Tendler, how do I know that this surgery is going to be successful? How do I know that I should really do this? Maybe they'll take my head apart. Who knows if they'll be able to put it back together again? And Rabbi Tendler said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you this far, he's not going to give up on you now. And he handed me the book of Tehillim, and he taught me. to daven during an Eis Tzara. And I daven from that book of Tehillim many, many times over the subsequent years. Like Avraham Avinu, his chesed was accompanied by an instruction to have emunah. Avraham Avinu welcomed people into his tent. He gave them food and he said, now bless the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Tendler taught us through his chesed how to be Bali Amuna, how to be servants of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Be'elah told us, Yitzchak is told us. It's all about told us. It's all about being both a descendant and an ancestor. As Rabbi Berman said, it's about developing and maintaining relationships. The relationship that I had with Rabbi Tendler was one that was everlasting, one that was very close. Just a year ago when he gave his last bioethics class at the Yeshiva University during the fall semester of 2020, my son, Yehuda Dov, had the zchus of being in that class. There was a continuity. It was the same type of relationship that he built with the yeshiva. Rabbi Tendler was so devoted to his relationships. And when I was menial of the yeshiva, so you're privy to certain information as a menial. You don't go share it with everybody. I was privy to things going on in Rabbi Tendler's life. He was in his 80s. He was going through a personal challenge at that point in time. And during that period of time, anybody who was half his age would have had a good excuse to take a leave and not to show up to his workplace for several months. Rabbi Tendler came to me after he was finished with his parsha, Baruch Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu watched over him. And he said to me, I want you to know, I am proud to say I did not miss giving a single shiur during this entire period of time. Whatever it was, not liberty to describe further. He's incredibly devoted to his Talmidim and to the yeshiva. Rabbi Tendler was known as an Ish Mechomos. No question about it. He had a strong personality. He's a person with controversial views sometimes. Could be a strong adversary. But I got to tell you, growing up in Kila Kedosha de Munsi, we saw none of that. Only sweetness and kindness and the most generous spirit in all of his interactions. Rabbi Tendler was known for having a wicked sense of humor, but that wicked sense of humor was always for the sake of righteousness. It was for the sake of giving gentle mussar, pointing out insights into our community. One of my chaverim told me that there was a Rosh Yeshiva meeting. I didn't hear the comment. He said there was a Rosh Yeshiva meeting in which everyone, Rosh Yeshiva, were davening mincha. And after saying Shmon Esrei, so Rabbi Tendler finished Shmon Esrei, Rabbi Lam, Zichron Levacha finished Shmon Esrei, but they were still waiting, some of the other Rosh Yeshiva to finish. So Rabbi Tendler turned to Rabbi Lam and he quipped, this is the only kind of race where the winner is the person who finishes last. When I was Menachem Ovil, the family asked me if I remembered some of the Mechomos that he fought. You know, people in the border communities, they remember tuna fish, they remember brain death. There was so much more, so much more. Rabbi Tendler was fighting for the Neshama of Klal Yisrael, for the community, exposing the treif establishments in town, the treif hotels, including one very, very famous resort in the Catskills that maybe had seen better days in terms of its kashrus standards. And discouraging people from going to places that were not up to par in terms of their kashrus. Rabbi Tendler would fight the wars that he needed to fight, even with his own balabatim. Balabatim who would go to the notorious Kiddush Club before the Haftorah in Shul. So Rabbi Tendler tried to stop, and finally he had an insight. He thought, you know what? Maybe it's that they're sitting there, they're listening to the Haftorah, and they don't understand it. Comes to the parashah, so they hear, I give a drosh, I give a parashah, so Shavua shir, Friday night, he gives a shir, he gave a shir in Shiltas, he gave a shir in Rambam, he gave a shir in Mishnah Berurah, gave a shir in Gemara, gave tons of shir. Unbelievable. Shir, every single one was a majestic gem. He said, but they're not hearing shir from me from the Haftorah, so I have to start giving a shir in the Haftorah. So then he started, in addition to his other dozen shir that he gave every single Shabbos, he gave a shir, which he explained the Haftorah, so that, and I think there were people who said, okay, fine, now he's giving me a reason to stay, so I'll stop going to the Kiddush Club. Whatever it took, he harnessed Torah to address and to confront all of the difficult problems, all of the difficult milchamas. Many Talmidim here didn't have the schus of being in Yashir. We had such a schus in Muncie that we got to hear, you know, Torah, high-level Torah from Rabbi Tendler all the time. He was such a master darshan. He taught me how to appreciate the medrash. I remember he once told me, every week, go find a really good medrash, and you have a good medrash. It's amazing. You can use it for everything during the week. You can use it for our barista, bar mitzvah, wedding, a sherebachas, levaya. One medrash can just carry you everywhere. And he was unbelievable with midrashim. He spoke about Rabbi Tendler being the embodiment of Torah Mada for Rabbi Tendler. As we know, Torah Mada was a lechatchila. He was our personification of Kihi Chochma Sfem, Uvina Sfem, Leinei Ha'amim, that his Chochma Uvina was truly Leinei Ha'amim, such a Kiddush Hashem, for Klal Yisrael. But see, the world took notice. There was a long obituary for Rabbi Tendler in the New York Times, not something that happens with every single Talmud Chochem. But I believe that for Rav Tendler, who was also part of Yiras Shemayim, of the awe and reverence that we need to have for Kodesh Baruch Hu and for the world that he created. He felt it was an insult to Kavod Shemayim not to take science and modern medicine into account in fashioning halakhic decisions. He was incredulous that anyone without a scientific background would paskin on areas of halakha and science. This wasn't hubris on his part. It was ensuring that Rabbanim respect what a Kodesh Baruch Hu had to say about the human body, about the possibilities of medicine, about the reality of scientifically proven dangers. But there was another dimension, the main one to his methodology, and that was that he wanted to help people through his Torah Mada. He wanted to make sure that halakha worked together with modern medicine to cure people, to keep their children safe, to keep families alive and healthy, and also psychologically healthy. I mentioned Rabbi Tendler's interpretation of the Ger who came to him asking to be taught all of Torah while standing a regel achas, making allusion to Rabbi Neuberger's story. He said, Gairani Amanashi Talamdeni Kola Torah Kula Kishini Omen al regel achas. And Hillel looked at this Ger and he said, okay, Dalak Sani Lachavak Losavit, you don't want done to yourself, don't do to others. The golden rule, right? After the Recha Kamocha. Zuhi Kola Torah Kula. That's the entire Torah. But the Idach Perushu Zio Gemur. The rest is commentary, go learn it. Rabbi Tendler explained, the Hillel was explaining to him, that what did the Ger want? He said, I want to accept regel achas. I'll accept the Bein Adam L'Chaverus, the ethical and interpersonal laws of Judaism. Bein Adam Malkum, not so interested in. Hillel said, you're right, the Iker is after the Reich HaKamocha. The Bein Adam L'Chaveru, that's the Klal Godel B'Torah. No question about it. But you have to master and practice the commentary in order to know the Bein Adam L'Chaveru. You got to do the mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Makom. You got to have the reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to discharge the interpersonal laws correctly, to have a proper understanding of ethics. And that was so much of what he taught through his bioethics, through his harnessing of halacha to help human beings in real life situations. After COVID broke, the shul in Muncie arranged for Rabbi Tendler to give drashos via video and to broadcast his drashos every single Shabbos. So I was able to hear his drashos again. It was amazing. My mother sent them to me. Somebody from the shul sent them to me. And they were broadcast from April 23rd, 2020. That's the first one that I got anyway. The last one that I received was January 22nd, 2021. He began every drasha with the words, my beloved Kehillah. And you could tell that he really meant it. The first drasha that I remember from this series was the drasha in which he said that the main part of Shmon Esrei that required our special kavanah during this pandemic was not Rifa'enu, it wasn't Barech Aleinu, it wasn't Shema Kolenu. What was it? Chonen Ados. To pray that a Kodesh Baruch Hu give us the wisdom to figure out how to confront this pandemic scientifically, that there could be a vaccine, be a cure. His finger was always directly on the pulse. He was the epitome of melding the Torah, world of Torah with the world of science, but he emphasized that we should not have the arrogance of thinking that scientific wisdom or good health would come from humans. Rather, it all comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we're all completely dependent upon a Kodesh Baruch Hu for our understanding of science. Truth of the matter is that Rabbi Tendler was very humble, but he found the perfect medrash for every specific occasion. I remember how he bought the Agadita from Ksuvos in my father's Levaya 14 years ago about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi refusing to give back the knife. So the Malach HaMavis story there, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi being shown his place in heaven, he borrowed the knife from the Malach HaMavis, didn't want to give it back. Rabbi Tendler compared it to my mother's Herculean efforts to keep my father's Zichrono Levracha alive after his stroke. But eventually, Rabbi Tendler explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu required that even Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi give the knife back, because you can't stave off death forever. Nafka bas kol ha'am alei, havni alei, demitrei lebriyosu. Rabbi Tendler did a pretty good job himself at staving off the Malach HaMavis. But eventually, he too was needed, B'yeshiva Shamala, to become a Melech Yosher for his community, for yeshiva, and for Klal Yisrael. And maybe to lighten the mood up there a little bit as well.
Yehi Zachor Baruch.
Please rise for a Kamale. I just encourage you, Talmidim, I'm not sure if Art Scroll is going to pick up the Rav Tendler book. Could be they will. But there's so much, the more you learn about Rabbi Tendler, the more there is to be inspired. There was an almost 3-hour Levaya for Rabbi Tendler, and everyone said something different, and everyone said something inspirational. So I encourage you, wherever you can find, and we will commit as an institution to be part of that as well, to figure out how to put into print somehow, to put out in the public sphere so many of these different aspects of Rabbi Tendler. There's a lot to learn from him, and it's inspiring. It's sometimes humorous and fascinating, and he has a message on so many levels to so many of us. El Malei Rachamim, Shochein Bamromim, Amtzei Menucha Nechona Al Kanfei Ashchina, B'malos Kedoshim U'Tahorim Kazar Akia Mazirim, Es Nishmas Rabbeinu Moshe Harav Moshe Dov Ben Yitzchak Harav Moshe David Ben Yitzchak Isaac Shehalach Liolamo Bavur Shanu Lomdim Torah Umispalalim Ba'adis Karas Nishmaso Began Eden Tehemenu Chaso Lachain Balarachamim Yastireo Baseser Kanafav Liolamim Vitzror Batrachaimis Nishmaso Adonai Hunachalaso Vianuach Bishalom Al Mishkavo Vinomar Amen. Thank you, everyone.